given us so many blessings, undeserving. That's what we are. We are to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today, and a whole lot more tomorrow. Oh, ain't God good?
Time. I'm excited.
He's good, he's good, he's good. I know he's good.
Amen.
Amen. Made it one more time. You know, I was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He foreseen me go all the way.
Right.
Predestinated to me this day.
That's right.
And then I manifested.
Amen.
He's seen me accept the word and punctuate it with amen.
Amen.
He seen me get baptized.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
And be baptized by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I have the Holy Ghost in me and God in me.
Amen.
And, you know, Saturday night, Brother Moore blacked my eye. He asked a simple little question. Why are you quiet? And I started thinking of all these excuses.
Oh, Lord.
And then when I finally realize that I don't have any excuse. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. God expects me to do what He wants me to do.
Amen.
You know, my gosh, I never knew how many lies Satan could come up with. And for 3 months, I let him make my mind a playground. And the only thing that saved me is I kept coming here.
That's right.
And then one Sunday night, Brother Moore said something simple. What keeps you quiet? And just blew me away.
Yeah. Mom, what?
And so now, you know, I'm not going to be quiet.
Come on.
Amen.
I came up here just to blacken Satan's eye.
Right. Amen.
He didn't want me to come up here.
Right.
He sat right over there and he was trying to talk me out of getting up.
Amen.
Said I didn't have nothing to say.
Amen.
Well, if I got God in me, I have something to say.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say I'm thankful to be here because of all the blessings in my life. It starts with, you know, it doesn't start anywhere, actually. It's all one continuous thing, whether it's the unity of the body, whether it's the wonderful headship that my husband gives, whether it's the leadership from the ministry, the deacons, whether it's my boss. You know, my sister has been amazing. I mean, just to sit and see God manifest. You know, they say that if you want to learn something, look around the body. And I understood that. I understood that. But you know, when you connect things like Brother Jay saying, you know, I want to be that strong person that the devil doesn't mess with no matter what I go through. Like, I'm so strong to that word that the devil just passes me on by. And he did that. Like, he literally did that. And we can watch that type of major thing, but on another level. When you look around at the body, at everything that we've all overcome, and we all overcame with the word. With the word. That's what unites us all. And to watch that manifest and how it's manifested in my life with me and how God's given me grace on things, you know, because God won't move until you do what he tells you to. And my husband told me something probably about 2 years ago. And I'm like, no, no. And I wasn't intentionally trying to, you know, not listen to God. And then God turned around in a different form and said, you need to get rid of them boxes. I was like, it didn't ding me, didn't put me down. Said, you need to get rid of those boxes. I went home. I called my husband before I got home. I said, honey, can you help me out? Can you help me move these boxes out of here? I'm getting them all gone today. And he's like, okay, sure. And he literally did not go into work when he was normally going to help me fulfill what God told me to do. Like, that only happens with God. That only happens with God. And I am blessed to be here. I am blessed to be a part of this. And I would not, I don't want to be anywhere else.
Amen.
It's good to be here tonight. I just want to make a quick announcement. A week from this Saturday, the church is going to the wilds. And I just wanted to remind you all that we're leaving on Saturday, July the 8th. That's a week from this Saturday. Okay. If you could start getting here about 7:45, because Brother Jeremiah and crew, we want to leave about 8. We are going to leave at 8 o'clock. And so if you could come with your car full of gas, it's about a 2-plus-hour trip there and a 2-plus-hour trip back. So please come with your car gassed up. And there's a couple people on the list. Everybody that signed up, we ask that you pay by this Sunday to Brother John. It's $23 per person. Whoever signed up is on the list in the back, so we've got that organized. We've got the tickets bought. Just want to—we'll keep reminding you all, but it's coming up pretty quick. So that's a week from this Saturday.
Just so you know, it's not like one of those church functions where we're making money on this. You're actually paying half price.
That's right.
It costs that much to get in.
That's exactly right.
So it's costing to go.
That's
so
right.
Please
Amen.
Pay John his money so he's going to help him.
And that's it right. Includes Amen. Kids too. Yeah. Everybody Amen. Has to pay. Amen. It's good to be here.
Right.
You know, I tell you what, Sunday was a blessing.
Yeah.
Sunday was a blessing.
Yes, it was.
If you missed it.
Amen.
It's one of those things where you had to be there. Yeah. You know, but, you know, talking about, you know, being a new creature. Oh, there's power to that. You know, I've been thinking about that all week. And, you know, I was, you know, reading some of the scripture. I have this little Bible verse that pops up daily. And sometimes it's a surprise, sometimes it's for works, but it was nice today because, you know, I was reading through it, and you know, when God talks, he talks in absolutes. You know, he doesn't talk, you know, maybe, ifs,
right.
Perhaps.
Direct.
He talks, and thy will be done.
Yes, that's right.
You know, my will be done. Mm-hmm. You know, it's talking back as a new creature, you know, when you are truly born again, you talk different. You walk different.
Oh, yeah.
It represents something.
Yes,
you see a different change. And I was thinking, you know, we talked about yesterday, what keeps you quiet? You know, your past. But that's it. It's gone. You can't tie that back to me. You know, you touch that, you know, you're touching God. You know, buried underneath the blood. But, you know, I thank God for revelation. You know, I wanted to get up because, you know, I don't want to be quiet. God's been too good to me. God's been, you know, you got to think. It's Wednesday night. We are few, but we are mighty.
That's
and
right.
I'm excited to hear my brothers get Thank up and talk tonight to preach. Because I know where God's at. Because I know we are new creatures. And because, you know, when you when you're born again, you have something that can, if you have a receptor, because if not, you come in and it'll be looking for a pastor to get up and they'd be like, oh, that's it? The song leader's up? It's over? No, but Lord, I thank God for revelation. I thank God for one more chance I could walk through these doors. I didn't know that the air quality was so bad until I came outside and looked. I had to ask Brother Jim. I was like, what's going on? It's the end of days out there. But Lord, thank you for revelation. Yes. Thank you for one more opportunity here. That's just one to go.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know, I thank God for this place. You know, and you know, we've been through, our family has been through a lot. And if I wasn't a believer, I'm a believer now. And if I didn't believe in miracles, I do now. You know, and if I didn't think anybody loved me, I definitely do now. You know, and I'm just so thankful for all the things that God has done for me and how he's worked mightily, you know, in my life and in my family. You know, we were skating in here because we just went to, today's Jada's birthday, and I took her to see her dad. And, you know, and he was just of good spirits, you know, and he's talking or whispering. But he's getting it out there, you know, and he's a fighter.
That's right.
And he's a believer of this word, you know, and I know that I heard them say that when he got the tube out the first time, you know, he did. He woke up preaching, rebuking, you know, and then singing, you know, because this is where his heart is. And even when he didn't know, when he was losing his mental status, and I would say, you know, like, you know, do you know, he didn't know his kids' names, or he couldn't say his kids' names, I should say that. You know, but I asked him, you know, like, what is your address? And he would say 1744, you know, and then he kept saying, you know, I gotta go, I gotta go, and he kept trying to get out of bed, and I was like, where are you going? He was like, I gotta go to church, gotta go to church, you know, because this is where his heart is, you know, and this is where he... You know, he loves this place, and he loves each and every one of you, that's, you know, right. And I appreciate that, you know, Brother John and Pastor Moore, you know, they've been very important in this process, you know, and even, like, he brought down some church age books, because James wanted them, you know, he wanted the church age books, and he had me reading them to him, and he was like, it gets real exciting, is what he would tell me, it gets exciting, you know, he was like, turn to Laodicea, you know, he was like, and I was like, okay, you know, and I'm just reading them to him, and I'm just, you know, I just thank God. We've come such a long way, and I wanted to sing a little bit of a song if I can get it out, Lord. Okay. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunders roll. Sorry. I'm going to start all over. I've seen the lightning flashing, I heard the thunders roll, I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still fight on. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me.
Amen. Seth. Amen. Never alone. Amen. Sing Falling in Love with Him. Page 126.
Never alone.
Thank God. Amen.
He's good to us.
Falling in love and thank God.
Amen.
Sister Courtney, whew, you touched my heart. You know what it makes me think? Brother Moore said, when you crush a rose, you're going to get a rose. And I think about what they've went through, and that's the difference between someone that loves God. It's not doing it because you have to, not doing it because of law. You want to get to the house when you've just had a liver transplant because you love him. And what a testimony. And I just thank God. He's been so good. I just was thinking that song, thank you, Lord. You know, I lost my sister, and he has brought me through. He has been so real. He's an ever-present help in our time of trouble. And I thank God for when we get here. I can't wait to hear what our brothers have to say. What you preached last time or spoke about on prayer has helped me immensely to be specific on what I need and what we want. And when we get here, God starts talking early. And I just appreciate it. Can we sing Thank You, Lord?
Yeah.
I think it's an F, but I don't know.
Thank you.
Because I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to be here. Thankful to have this word inside me. Thankful to have the representation and know who I am.
Thank
you. Courtney, I don't know where you're at, but I love you. I love you, James. I love you.
Have been praying a little bit differently. You know, this has been the preacher that came, I think it was Alex, and he talked about the 26 people that were standing up for that person. And just, I know that we've all been surrounding Jay. I know that I've been praying specifically. Just, my heart is full. I don't know what to say. I know that I was back there, and the devil fights me in a different way because I think I testify too much, and I don't want to do that, but I feel like every time I get here, I just want to thank God, and if I don't say it, I have a praise report, and I'm like, I can't sit on this. You guys know I was praying for my friend, and I was actually, before I got out in the parking lot, I had a different idea, not just praying for my friend and what I want my friend to have, or what I think God might want my friend to have, but I started praying for love. Yeah. And I'm like, God changed that other person's heart. Yeah. That's what we want to go away. We want evil to go away. And you work it out. I quote Brother Moore and my husband all the time. Doug will tell me things to say. It's this word. This word. Today I told her, I said, we have not because we ask not. And I 100% know I have that checkbook. And I'm just going to keep writing and writing and writing. Today a miracle happened. And something that we did not even expect. This has been going on for 2 years. And the evil, evil, evil person, or the evil that was in the person, change.
Praise God.
Like, love came out today, and they thought about somebody else besides herself, and I just thought, thank you, Lord. I mean, like, we're crying, and don't want to sit on that. God heard my prayer. You know, God heard our prayers. We know who we love, and He loves them too. And I'm just grateful. If I did not have this word in my life, and I get to, if I have a question, I can call somebody up and say, hey, how would you handle this? What's the word say about this? But you know what? I've been here long enough. I kind of know what it is. And that's good. I'm free. I'm.
Amen.
Amen. I had some. Go ahead.
Real quick. First of all, I want to extend a very happy birthday to Jada. And to a very special young lady also in my life, Andrea. Today's her birthday. Amen. Two fine, beautiful young ladies. And I also want to thank God. Tomorrow I'll be married 38 years to Pastor Moore. He's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. And I thank God for, he rebukes me constantly. But amen, I repent constantly because there's something inside of me that says, come on. So I'm going to ask him to come over to the piano. And would you like to do that, please? I want you to sing with me. Because, you know, there's nothing better you can have than a mate that serves God with you. And you know, the zeal of the hour to say I'm wrong. I don't have a problem with saying I'm wrong. Because, you know, if God don't, if God only, He only rebukes sons. Amen. If you're not His, He ain't worried about you. Let's sing. It's an easy song. There's no excuse whatsoever to not give God praise in an hour like this. To see, oh my God. Amen. Oh, forget it. Here we go. Amen.
He wasn't looking at Frankie. He wasn't looking at me when he took me in.
When he took me in.
He wasn't looking at my heart.
Looking at my heart.
That was blackened with sin. He was looking at his blood. Flowing rich and free. That precious blood. Which covered me.
That covered me. He wasn't looking at me.
When he took me in,
when he took me in,
he wasn't looking at my heart,
he wasn't looking at my heart,
that was blackened with sin, but he was looking at his blood, flowing rich and free, that precious blood, that covered me,
you know he's looking at me.
Blood flowing rich and free, that precious blood that covered me. He wasn't looking at me,
wasn't looking at me
when he took me in,
when he took me in.
He wasn't looking at my heart that was blackened by sin. But he was looking at the blood, flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covered me.
Amen. That's what he was looking at.
Amen. Well, since I'm here.
Go ahead, Mel. Go ahead and I'll sing something while I'm sitting. I just happened to look at my book. I thought, okay, I'll sing that.
Yeah, because you know I will sit back down on you. After Sunday night, I just, that was a different kind of Sunday. And I said that to the pastor. It was just an eye-opening experience for everybody to just tell it like it is.
That's right.
I had to get up today after Sunday night because I don't know if I've ever thanked God for bringing me to this message in front of this body. And I want to do that, and I noticed that it was the theme for today. So I want to thank God for bringing me to this message and continuing to reveal his word to me. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be quiet every time I come in here. But little Miss Lily put us all in check with her question. And I'm like, if she can ask a question, I certainly can get up and testify. So I'm just thankful to be here and looking forward to the word tonight.
Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And it's good to see God moving. And I walk away from Sunday night, I was thinking, wow, that was weird. That was different. But then everybody on the internet's like, what happened Sunday night? What happened Sunday night? So, I've had them ask me to put it on the internet. I've had them ask me to take notes and give them to them. But it was good. Sunday night, it was an eye-opener. It helped me because, you know, I'm not an outgoing person in one sense, but when it comes to serving God, God has to be first. And so I'll push over myself. I'll push over what I think. I'll push over anything that has to happen to make sure God's word moves forward. And it doesn't matter about what I feel like. It doesn't matter about what I think. It doesn't matter about how good I've been, how bad I've been. It doesn't matter about how the day's been. If God gives me breath and I have an opportunity, I want to come and give back to him. That's why I do the things that I do. I don't do it because I'm talented. I do it because I just want to throw something back at him because he's given me so much and he's done so much and he's been so good. And I couldn't even begin to think what my life would be like without him. Could you imagine him just backing up and just moving away from you? What would your life be? And I think, God, I may not get everything right, but Lord, you know my heart's desire. You know, that's why I sing that song, It's My Desire, because it really is my desire to do the will of God. It's my desire to push this word forward. It's my desire to put the best thing out there that I can to represent Christ. And God knows my heart. And when I don't meet the mark, I don't hit the mark, I don't stop shooting. I take another shot. And I don't look at how far off the mark I am. I'll try to get it focused in and get a better shot. So that's the way I walk every day. If I look at yesterday and I did a good job, then I thank God for it. If I look at yesterday and I did a bad job, I pray God help me to do a better job today. And that's how I walk every day. I don't. This is not something that I'm just taking for granted. And sometimes God has to slow you down and stop you and make you think back to where you began. Make you think back to what drew you here. Make you think back to your real love, because sometimes we get fogged over by all the cares of this life, and really it's the love of God that brings us to where we're at. And then sometimes you got to just say, Lord, stop me and take me back. David said, restore under me the joy of that my salvation. Take me back to that point. Like brother James said last week, you know, a prayer, a real prayer with him, a 101 with him, you know. And I want to sing this song because I thought about this the other week, and I've been carrying in my book here for weeks, and I just sat in here and we sang that other song. I looked up and it's sitting there. I was like, oh, I might as well sing that. So, and this song should make us all just think about it a little bit.
Yes.
Because it is a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. It really is. It's not about me, you, and the church. It's not you and your spouse in the church. It's not you and your kids and your family. And it's about what is God doing with you. So that's where it comes down. And that's when everything else falls apart. This one thing stays there, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. How long has it been since you've talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees to the light shone through. How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and he'll keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day is worth living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you that he cared for you? Oh, can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Sing 207. It won't be long. I'll get these brothers up.
Just remember, after services, there's cupcakes in the back for Jada.
Yes.
Don't forget.
207. Yeah.
It won't be long.
It won't be long till we leave in here. It won't be long. We'll be going home. Count the weeks as days.
months and count the months as we count the weeks as days. Any day now we'll be going home, 'cause it won't be long. Years as months, count the years as months, count the months as weeks, just count the months as weeks, and count the weeks as days. Any day now we'll be going home. Let's count the years as months. Oh, count the years as months. Just count the years as months, and count the months as weeks. Just count the months as weeks, and count the weeks as days. Any day now we'll be going home. We'll be going home. We'll be leaving here. Oh, it won't be long. We'll be going home. Just count the years. Oh, let us count the years as months. Count the years as months, and count the months. Just count the months as weeks. Let us count the weeks as days. Any day now we'll be going home. Amen. It won't be long now. It won't be long on anybody's calendar. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. And we keep checking on Jay and keeping our eye on him. And, you know, now he's at a point now, and each day he's getting better. It's getting better. So thank God for that. Keep him in your prayers. He's still got a long way to go, but you know what? God's got that too. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. And now I've got three brothers, and I don't limit it to three. I have to watch how I say things, because you all make a law out of it. If I say three brothers, all I'm going to get is three brothers. After the third brother, everybody stopped calling and stopped thinking about it. They're like, well, I'm off the hook. No, you're not. I'm after those that God says, get up. I don't care if it's five. I don't care if it's two. I don't care if it's one. It's just, you know, it's whatever God wants. So don't think just because three called me and said they're going to do it, that's the end of it. So if you got something to say, say it. You know, that's what it's about. And so, because there's nobody here that doesn't have anything to say. And that's the point I always try to get across to everybody, is that we all have something to say. That's why God called you. If God didn't have you for a specific reason, then you wouldn't even be here. So just keep that in mind. So just keep the body in prayer. We're in a battle. We come in this year, and
We've been hitting the ground running, and Satan's been hitting everywhere he can. But you know what? We're believers. We're believers. We're standing on the promises of God. We're standing on his word. And greater's he that's in you.
Amen.
That's what you ought to always remember. When you're in the middle of that battle, greater's he that's in you than he that's in the world. So God's got you. 2023, we're going to get through this. And I ain't woeing and crying and woeing and moaning. I'm saying we're in the middle of it now.
Yeah.
You know, you, when you get in the ring, you got to put your fist up. Because if you don't put your fist up and fight back, you're going to get knocked over. So when you're in the middle of the fight, it's not time to stand around the edge. It's time to get in the middle and take charge. And here we are all the way up to July. The fight is on now, church. Keep your boxing gloves on. Keep your guard up. Keep pushing, because you know what? We're getting the job done.
That's right.
We are getting the job done. Satan said, well, only reason you Fairborn loves you so much, God, is because you take care of them. You do this and this and that. No, God pulls back his hedge and say, I dare you touch him. I dare you. See, God will pick a fight. I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
God picks fights.
Yeah.
And I like that makes me look at life a whole lot different.
Yes.
Because if God picks a fight and he throws me in the ring, he's got confidence that I'm going to do this. And you might get in the ring and think you're not going to do it, and then you get hit one time, you're like, wait a minute. Satan hit, wait a minute. And you start hitting that devil back, blacking his eye, and letting him know he doesn't have you, letting him know he didn't win. Let him know that you can't win. You'll never get me, Satan. Never. So we're on it. So my preachers are down. I ain't got no preachers. One's in the hospital and the other's on vacation. That's all right. But you know what? We ain't missing one service. We ain't missing one meal. We're eating pretty good, actually. So it shows you that God's in the body. He's not just in just the fivefold ministry, or he's just not in just certain ones. He's in the whole body. So I had three people tonight, and I'm trying to think of the order that they talked to me. I think Isaiah was first, and then Brother Ted, and then Brother James. You can tell James going to get up. Look at him all spiffied up. But that's all right. You know what? That tells me? He takes it serious. It takes it serious, and you should take it serious too. And when they get up, you take what they're saying serious.
Amen.
Because it's not about the person, it's about the word.
Amen.
And anybody in this body should be able to get up here and say something serious about the word, and you take it home as something from God. So if you miss God tonight, you say God ain't here, it's on you, because he's definitely here. He said, where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. If they don't say nothing, it's because you didn't pull nothing.
That's right.
So who did I say getting up first? Isaiah, you first? So now I got this wireless here. Don't get intimidated by it. You can use that. You can use this, and you can use handheld. Whatever y'all want to do, I'm just going to get out of the way. Mind my little business. And so when Isaiah finishes, and Ted, you get up. And when Ted finishes, James, you get up. When James finishes, if somebody else don't get up before I do, then I'll get up. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. I think so. Yep. God bless you guys. Boy, that nervousness still never goes away. Whew. You know, I never want to get up here and not give flowers to the ministry and to the preachers, you know, because I've been learning some things since the last time I came up here. And, you know, I really feel for the preachers, anybody really that gets up and you know, gets outside of themselves and stuff.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, God's going to put you through some things. You know, you can't just get behind this pulpit. You know, I used to think Brother Jeremiah and Brother Jay were kind of like cutthroat, you know. And I mean, if they just have no emotion, they'll just rebuke you. And, you know, it's just they've been through some things.
Right.
You know, God's not going to put just anybody up here. He's going to put you through some trials.
Right.
You're going to suffer.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when I looked at Jeremiah, sometimes I, for the longest time, I thought Jeremiah never liked me. And but it's just that he's just been through so much different things that God's brought him through to be up here to preach. You know, you got to be at the end of yourself when you get up here.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
You know, I just thank God for a house of correction, you know. And I needed correction. You know, I've been corrected here so much, and you know, I should be pretty right by now, you know, like, because you know, that's our desire. And you know, we just want to be right, and it's okay to be wrong. You know, I've never heard that before I came here, that it was okay to be wrong. And unless you know it's okay to be wrong, then you'll always try to hide and try to make excuses. Amen. Always try to make, you know, some kind of make up something, you know, to prove and justify that you're right. When all you have to do is say, you know what? What can I do? How do I turn this around? I remember Brother Childers sitting where Brother Warren is right now, and he said, "That's the zeal of the hour. I'm wrong and you're right. Just drop it." And you know, I remember when I first came here, you know, we had a church picnic and, you know, food being served in the back. I came out here and sat here, right here, and was eating my food. Brother Moore saw it. He was like, "Oh no." I almost got beat up and almost dragged my carcass out the door. He said, "Don't ever let me see you do that again." And you know, I love it, because unless somebody comes to correct you and make an adjustment. Because Brother Moore said it before. He said, all correction is just an adjustment. You know, it's nothing grievous really to it. Yeah, it might sting a little bit, but like, it's just a correction. It's just for you to get right back on the right track. And I just thank God for this place. And you know, after what all the testimonies, I mean, I'm like, whoo, man, they're just setting it up for us, ain't they, brother? So I had a Brother Branham quote that I didn't know where to put it. And it's just so fitting that Brother Moore was saying what he said, and I'm like, well, look at that, Lord. He has always provided. He's always given us. You know, he's done nothing but give. And I'm so grateful. This is a Brother Branham quote here. It's really old. It's from 55. And it's from the book, The Darkest Hour, Then Jesus Comes Along. You must remember that regardless of how busy you are, what kind of life that you live, you better take time for Christ.
That's right.
And I remember Brother Moore telling me that over the phone one day. I was just talking to him and stuff, telling him how busy I was. Things had just started ramping up with business and more work and things like that. And that's good. But I told him, listen, I barely have time for anything else. You know, he said, you always want to make time for God. You always want to just put aside some time. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just stop what you're doing and just magnify him for a second.
Amen.
Because he got you to that point, you know. Just give him a second, you know. Give him a second of your time. And that's what that was saying right there. And it touched me, because you can never be too busy for God, you know. And I'm blessed, because I had a stacked last 2 weeks. And I had things, like, change on me, you know. And it's so right in that song. That song, it says, you know, life is full of swift transitions. And I had to move like a surfer. It's a good thing I know how to surf. Because I had to move quick, you know, things adjust. You have to be flexible. In this life, you got to learn how to bend. And you got to learn how to drop what you thought it was and pick up something that's right in front of you, that what the direction's calling for. So I was blessed, because, you know, in the type of work I'm doing now, you know, I got to be precise. You know, that's what clients be paying for. And, you know, you got to have your ducks in a row. You got to do what you got to do, you know. And I don't trust anybody with my work, because, you know, it's my name. My name's on it, you know. And now I know how God feels, because he ain't going to just trust you with his name.
Amen.
If he doesn't see that, if he didn't see you, if you weren't foreknown, he's not going to trust you with nothing. Like, just keep sitting there, you know. And so I was looking at it. I was like, okay, I got to let go, because if I don't get somebody in here to take over this, I'm not going to be able to get to that. I'm not going to be able to get to these different things. I got to try to put out all these fires and stuff. So God sent somebody. And those guys, they came in, did a bang-up job. They treated my customers with just utmost respect. And they're from Hawaii, too. So I really was like, you guys, this is my family. This is my auntie. So you guys better just, hey, take your shoes off when you come into work, you know? So you don't take your shoes off when you're doing work. But, like, you know, just, you know what I mean. I was just trying to give him the best service, you know? And that's what I'm trying to do tonight. Just give God the best of what I got, you know? And so I wanted to see if you guys could turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. I mean, Revelation chapter 10. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse 4. And the last time Brother Moore preached, he was talking about that one service. He was talking, the title of it was the sounding of the seven thunders. And there's a lot of things that I pulled out of there. You know, I had a whole bunch of notes. You know, I had like 3 pages of notes. And since that message, I had like 6 pages. So I was like, oh, I'm stacked. You know, and now God was like, nope, don't want that, don't want this. And then now it's like half a page. So I'm like, and I'm not even there, you know? So I'm like, oh Lord, you got to take this. I need you so much. So we're going to go down to verse 4, and it says here, and when I saw seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. If I was going to title this, it would be called The Adjustment. All right. All right. And the reason why I started here is just because where it says he was about to write. Right. At this point, John had already seen so many things that mighty angel was actually showing him and that he was scribing down. So he was just going for it. He was trying to be as detailed as possible in what he saw and make sure that he didn't mess nothing up. But he would have kept going had he not been stopped by that mighty angel. And when that mighty angel stops you or tells you to do something different, you got to follow that. Because if you don't drop what you think it is, your thinking is going to just take you right off the cliff. And you won't be edifying anything. And, you know, I really love what Brother Seth was saying. Because Brother Seth, I took this home and I couldn't get it off my mind. He said, you know, I don't want God to pass me by. I'm just kind of paraphrasing because, like, I got to take that burn home. I'm not taking no burn home. I'm not taking nothing home, not especially anything I bought here to begin with. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, I'll just put it under the seat so nobody sees. Let the sisters come clean it up how they always do, you know. I've been here long enough, like Sister Renee said, to know how things work, you know. So when you know how God operates, it's easy to fall in place. It's easy to fall in step. It's easy to follow the ministry exactly where they're going. It's just easy because they've already laid out the path. I'm not here trying to create the wheel. It's already been done. This has already been done here. And, you know, what I love about this is when he said he was about to write, that angel spoke, and he didn't write. Amen. So that adjustment was made. It wasn't grievous or anything. It was like, hey, you need to stop right there. No, we don't want that. That's not, we don't want that even wrote down. Right. Mix this thing up, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And so I used to work for a company called Honeywell, and Brother Moore used to be my boss. And we had a few things that, you know, you would have in your work instructions, and you couldn't deviate from those things. So we had this thing called process indicators. And like a process indicator, I started looking at this thing, and God was really showing me some stuff. I'm like, wow, you're really cool, Lord. You know, I never thought he was so awesome, you know? But he is awesome. So I was looking at the ages and stuff, you know, in my church age book, and I'm like, wow, look at that. There was process indicators all throughout the ages. And what a process indicator is, it's not like a defect. It's just a deviation that doesn't affect form, fit, or function. Amen. So the deviation here was in the dark. It was just where the darkness came in. That was the deviation, because what God had given each messenger in each age was what they needed for that hour. And then the blood was sprinkled to cover their ignorance. The ignorance was what Satan had, you know, filled in with darkness. And so that was the deviation. It's not what they had was wrong. It's just that we're only given so much. Amen. So, gosh, I thank God for a house of correction. You know, and if I say anything, you know, that doesn't line up, I'm not afraid to get corrected. That's what we're here for. We're all, you know, we're being real. You know what I mean? And so when you have process indicators, you know, there's a deviation. You know, it's not saying that everything
in the ages wasn't done right. It was just they were only basically doing what was given for that hour. Amen. But when you came here to the end time, you couldn't deviate. There's no deviations. Amen. As a matter of fact, he's not even taking acceptable. Acceptable has one thing missing. See, it's perfect in its form, fit, and its function. It's perfect in how it operates, and it's got some longevity to it. But the one thing is missing. It's not tied to quality of life. Amen. You need to be target in this hour. Amen. God's only looking for targets. I got a target on my back, and I got a target on my forehead. The one on my forehead is the one Satan's got on me. The one on my back is God's target on me because I'm his man, and he'll always get his man. And so if you'll turn with me here, I even wrote a question down. Why is correction so important? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're gonna start at verse 6. And it's a little bit of reading. I'm just so happy. Just somebody say amen. Thank God. Amen. Oh, my goodness. He has just been so good to us. More than we deserve, you know. What a treat, you know. This is such an honor for me, a privilege, you know. So we're gonna go to Hebrews 12, and we're gonna start at verse 6, and it says here, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." For what is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So I rejoiced because I've taken many chastisements. And I'm still here. I didn't pass out. I didn't, you know, I didn't stomp out, you know. One time I walked out, but that was just to get my brother. So so I wanted to go to a Brother Branham quote that was really cool that kind of ties with my theme here because we're just making adjustments here. And it's nothing new, you know what I mean? I'm just bringing to you what you've already heard. It's just a reminder. Amen. So there's another Brother Branham quote here. And it was from the book, The Influence, 1963. And it says here, God is putting down everything you're thinking about. And he knows it. In his recording book, your thoughts are louder in heaven than your voice is on earth. Amen. Think the right thing. That's right. So, you know, the direction of the ministry, what the preacher's been talking about is you gotta speak. You know, the spoken word was the original seed. And so you got to speak because you're only going to overcome by the words of your testimony. Amen. So before you speak, you got to think because a lot of times, you know, I was guilty of, you know, just speaking without thinking, just, you know, whatever wants to come out of my mouth. I was just like that, you know, no filter, nothing, you know. And you got to think about things. And what you think about is very important, too, because there's different influences that we live around here. And the influences that you have in your mind is what you're going to talk after. And so it's good to think right, too, because if you don't think so, let's go check Mark. Let's go check Mark. Mark 13, 11. And it's really important to think right because, you know, when I read the book of Covey, he said that stinking thinking. That's it is stink. It's stink. You know why? Because it's full of doubt. It's full of unbelief. Amen. It's full of uncertainty, and you're like shaking where you don't know who you are. Right. No, man, this is the last day. Amen. This is the final voice to the final age. Amen. This is, comes with, I mean, to whom much is given, much is required. Right. So when you have things happen to you, like that one brother said, think it not strange. You know, you think it's strange that Jay's in the hospital right now? No, God did this. God put all these things in front of our brothers to pull out what's in the body. Because the body's supposed to take care of itself. And I'm way off my notes, but that's okay because I don't want to be in God's way when I talk to the body. The body wants to be edified and they're going to get what they expect. That's what Pastor always says. Come expecting. I come expecting, I got a big, huge bucket. Then I'm going to go back in my truck and grab the other bucket because I got a lot of needs. I'm a real needy bride. So when he puts things in front of your path, when he, it feels like things just aren't going right, because there was a lot of things. I mean, a lot of things that wasn't going right. I mean, everything from clients holding checks back for a manufactured defect door to just, you know, unfinished promises and stuff like, oh, Lord, did you have to make it this hard? Well, you got to preach on Wednesday, so I got to give you something to preach about. Because when you get there, you're going to be at the end of yourself. You think God needs your skills? I got mad skills, okay? I sold magazines door to door for almost 5 years. I'm not afraid of rejection. I've been humiliated at such a young age, but God's not using any of that. He doesn't care about any of that, because all he cares about is the vessel. Bring me that body so I can use it. You're not even using it the way I want you to. I'll show you how to use that body. I'll show you how to yield those members. So that's what he's calling for in this hour. And God bless you, Brother Jeremiah and Brother James. I love you guys, because they're my examples. You know, I see them do it, I'm like, man, I could do that. You know, but nobody signs up for this thing. So don't think this is, you know, my calling or anything like that. I'm just the help. I'm the kitchen prep guy in the back that just, you know, no cook showed up for work. So I got to come up to the front. The business must go on. So let's go here to Mark 13. Mark 13, and we're going to start at, I won't be before you guys too long. Praise God. And Mark 13, 11. We're going to start at 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that ye speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. That's who you have before you. That's who you have in you. You know, that's why the ministry, when they pray, pray over the food and pray over the message for the day, they're saying, Lord, get the speaker and the hearer out of the way. And God showed me something this week. He said, The pastor, the preacher is always the first one to get rebuked out of the whole congregation. So it's just as hard for the preacher, the minister, to be able to deliver a rebuke through the word of God as it is for you to receive it. Amen. Just receive it. That's all you got to do. Just receive it. Don't think about it. Just receive it and let it do what it does in you. Amen. And you'll be all right. I know I'm all right. So that's why, you know, he's not looking for our abilities, because he can do exactly what he wants to do in you. And you know, a lot of times when he does, our first reaction is like, wow, that was me? Whoa, you don't even know what you're made of. Brother Okeo came here a couple years back, the first time I ever heard him preach about the dimensions. And he said something about his daughter. She was kind of doubting herself about her abilities to be able to pass a test. And he said, you know what? You're made of better material than that. Only a father will know exactly what you're made of. That's why we get our identity from. We get it from him. Only a father's going to give you your identity. And, you know, that's what time we're in, actually. That little space of a half an hour, that's identity time, you know? He said he gave us the land, okay? And that land is the word of God. Over here in the things that are to be, that little space of time before that body change, that's where we're at.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he gave that to us for identity.
Right.
You will identify with this message if you're one. If you're chosen, you're going to get up and you're going to identify with this. You can't even get the land unless you identify with it.
Amen.
You got to identify with the hour, with the land you're given for the hour that you're giving it in.
That's right.
So if you'll turn with me one more time. Actually, I got another Brother Branham quote. This is a special thing these preachers have. Because, man, I don't know how to tie my shoes when it comes to this message. And I'm like, Lord, I got a bunch of stuff here. And unless you do it, I can't do a thing. And that's the truth. So I got a Brother Branham quote here. And this is it right here. because sometimes I feel kind of entitled. Like the last time, I'll just tell you how my stinking thinking was working on me. Last time I came up, you know, and exhorted, and you know, I felt pretty good. I left here, you know, I was riding on a horse, you know, it was pretty high up there, you know. And I felt kind of like, okay, Lord, I did this. Can you do this for me now? No, doesn't work like that. No, you got to do this out of love. Amen. I do this out of love because he corrected me about that. That's a crummy way to think. That's not even how he would think. That just goes to show how human all of us are, you know. And thank God for it, because I can be corrected. Amen. We all can be corrected. It's just a small adjustment anyway. So it's this quote here is from another one from 55, but it's really, really good. It's from the resurrection of Lazarus. There is a way to approach simplicity. Don't ever think that you're better than somebody. Don't think God owes it to you. Woo! You owe it to God. Come humble. And that touched me right there, because you know, we can get exalted, you know. And I'm just putting myself out there. You know, it's funny because I put myself out there to complete strangers, and I throw myself at their feet every day. And I can't do that in here. Man, that just, you know, kind of. And I told Brother John one time, I'm like, you know, we treat complete strangers better than we treat each other sometimes, you know. And that's true. And you know, it's not like it's a rebuke, but I mean, it's a good one, you know, because we really should hold each other a little higher, you know. Esteem your brother, esteem your sister, you know, because we're in it together, you know. If you can't handle my stink right now, and we're at the top of the pyramid, I mean, man, you know, like, we're gonna get a lot closer. This ain't nothing yet. It's gonna be where we're like, yo, bro, I smell your breath. Like, man, come on, you should have brushed them this morning. But we're gonna go over here to Philippians chapter 2, and we're gonna start at verse 4. And you guys have just been so great to me. Thank you for not butchering me. Philippians. And chapter 2. Amen. All right, so look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. If I take on anything, I just want to be a servant. Amen. That's all I'm here to do. I'm here to do thy will, O Lord. God bless you. Next brother.
I've got five little stones. That's all I can think of. Five scriptures. That's all I've got. And it's amazing, because he didn't take the scriptures that I have down here, but he hit all every other one. He was hitting, like, I'm going, well, I thought about that one before, and I thought about that one before, but that's not the scriptures that was given to me. So I said, okay. I'll start with this first. Hebrews 11 and 1. Okay. Let me get there first. Amen. Now by faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of seen not seen. For by this the elders obtained a good report. Okay. I could read it, but I'm just going to go over that right there because it's basically the thing of faith. Amen. You can go on and all of it. That's, well, I'll just take a little bit of it right now. And number two is Galatians 3 and 6. Galatians 3 and 6. I have them marked, so I make it easier for me to read them. Okay. And 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, knowing that therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Just these scriptures, okay? And then I got Peter 1 and 7. There is a method to it. I don't know. These are the scriptures that came on my mind, so.
Amen, Lord.
Okay. Yeah. Peter, 1 Peter 1 and 7. Okay, it says, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perceiveth through it and tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at his appearing of Jesus Christ. Now I have James 1 and 3. Amen. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. And my last scripture, which is my fifth one, is Hebrews 5 and 8. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made as a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art son of, to, am I right here? I guess no, I'm on 5 and 5. I'm sorry. Well, I can read it down. That's fine. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest and every after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of the in his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that feared. Though he were a son, yet learned his obedience by the things he suffered. Amen. Obedience through suffering. That's what my thought is. We go through things in this world to learn obedience. And obedience is to the word.
Yes.
Basically, it's how to speak, how what you should say. We go through things because we don't say the right thing. That's how we suffer. We don't suffer when we speak the right things. When we speak the right things, we're in obedience. When we speak the wrong things, we suffer. And we learn obedience by that suffering. That's what came on my mind.
Amen.
And I was, you know, obedience is applying the word that comes across the
That's
pulpit.
Right.
And using it.
Yes.
And putting it in your life.
Right.
You learn obedience by that. That's
Amen.
How you learn obedience.
Amen.
You're not going to learn it by your own thoughts.
That's right.
You learn obedience by the preaching of the word.
Yes.
And it comes through a preacher.
That's
so
right.
That was my biggest thought, was that. And God helped me on this, because I'm doing the best I can.
Amen.
God knows my heart. God, and my thing, and he said, and I said yesterday, I said, you know, just use the vessel, Lord. Get me out of the way. That's all he wants, is a vessel. And that's when he took my scripture. I said, well, I can't use that one, because he done took it. But obedience is what God is looking for.
Amen.
And it's just say the right things.
Right.
Spoken word is original seed. So you speak the word, and when you speak the right word, you're being obedient to say the right word.
Right.
Period. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to speak the right thing. Thoughts don't count.
Right.
Thoughts go in and out.
That's right.
But speaking is the most important thing, because
right.
by speaking, we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to get out of here,
Amen.
By the speaking the right things.
Amen.
So God is teaching us by our suffering to say the right things.
Amen.
So when the wrong things come in your mind, just keep it behind your teeth. That's
right.
Let it fly over your head.
Right.
You're not accountable for things you don't say.
Right.
You're only accountable for things you do say.
That's right.
And
come on.
My prayer is, Lord, I want to do the right things.
That's right.
I want to speak the right things, because speaking the right things are more important than even living the right things.
Amen.
It's speaking the right things, because it's not in living. Not in living at all. It's in speaking.
That's right.
That's the secret of it. And Brother Brandon said the spoken word is original seed.
Yes.
There's a mass.
Right.
It's very important to speak the right things.
Amen.
Because by speaking it, you form worlds in existence.
That's right.
Your worlds.
Oh, yes.
Right. So,
right. Amen.
I understand, I'll tell you. It's a gift to get out of your way.
Amen.
I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
This is very, very, very nervous up here. Because,
yeah.
You know, as I said, God said, just use a vessel.
Amen.
That's all I can do.
Amen.
So I don't have the ability to just wander off. I don't.
No.
I don't want to. So I'm doing what I can do right here.
Amen.
And I just, put it this way, I know when I'm done, and I feel like I've done enough. So I may burn a little bit, but I'll burn.
I was afraid I missed the boat because I wasn't lined up with all of them. And then I heard Brother Ted say he brought five stones. And since my subject was, what is it to be a man after God's own heart? It's like, I'm in. That's all I needed. I don't even know how I came to it. Pastor said something, and I started thinking about the attributes in the church. And, you know, I look around at you guys, like I see Covey's, and it's like, that is how you love other people, strangers. It's just, Brother Covey, you can't be around that man 5 minutes and not know he loves you.
That's
Brother Warren, he has humility down in ways that I never forgot. Now, I'm a bit of an egotistical prick. he's nice. and, you know, and Pastor's got headship, and you bring qualities to the table
yes.
that I need to emulate and improve on working on my own life. And then I kind of went to what's the greatest compliment that God's ever said about anyone that I could achieve? First, the greatest would have been John the Baptist. I can't achieve John the Baptist. He was given the Holy Spirit in the womb. You know, I passed that one. But the next greatest compliment was David. David is a man after God's own heart. And I kind of went through, it's like, why is David a man after God's own heart? Because he was a bloody man. He was a liar. And he had all kinds of problems. But why was he? First, he was anointed. He was predestined. God chose him, gave him the Holy Spirit. So we know, if you were given the Holy Spirit, you were given it for a reason. God sees attributes in you that you do not see.
Amen. Woo, come on.
What else was it about David? He respects the anointing. Just like Jacob. Jacob was not as good a man as Esau, but Jacob respected the anointing that anointed. And just to show you two places how much David respected the anointing. This is when Samuel was trying to kill him. Saul, sorry. Samuel's dead now. Thank you. It's in 1 Samuel 24. Saul's goes into the cave where David is hiding from him while he's trying to kill him. And what does David do? He cuts off a piece of his robe, lets him go, and just says, hey, Lord, deliver you to my hand, but I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. And he respected it. But the truth was, God had already pulled his anointing from Saul, but he so respected the anointing, he would not speak against it. He wouldn't go against it. Just like this up here. You know, they had dark spots. But when the anointing moved on, some of them bashed the ones before them. But no, David saw that God was before him and where God was now. David is a servant. I was supposed to start with that, but I'm off. He was a servant to his fathers and his sheep. You know, he serves in Saul's household, you know, when he was afflicted by playing the harp. This is before he ever went and slain Goliath. He was taking it kind of as a young boy. He was the pretty boy with the harp. And that's pretty much what he's known. That's why no one expected him. It's like Justin Bieber coming up. And no one expects anything good out of Justin Bieber. But that's what it was. But that's what he was. And also as a servant, he was a leader. When he first started running away from Saul, back in 1 Samuel verse 2, people flocked to him. He went to the caves to hide for himself. He's at his lowest point in his life. He you know, what am I going to do? My king wants to kill me. I've lost my wife. You know, all this stuff going on. And then I like to call them 3D people. Because the distress, the debt, and the disconnected, they all come to him. And they're flocking to him. It's like he's trying to throw himself a pity party, hiding in these caves. And I don't know if you've ever tried to hide. It's a whole lot harder to hide when you have hundreds of people coming to you. But, you know, God had put leadership qualities in him, and he accepted his position because he understood God's anointing was on him.
That's right.
And just as a side note, if you want to see what God can do with these 3D peoples who are distressed, debt, and disconnected, just flip over to 1 Chronicles 11 and 20, and you can see, read for yourselves. This takes too much time to do it. The acts of David's mighty men. David's mighty men were not the men that anyone expected. You know, you walk around this church, you're not the one, you wouldn't have picked yourself probably. No, he just wouldn't have done it. It's like, but he's better, Lord. But that's not how God works. He gets the glory out of 3D people like us. He don't get glory out of, you know, top of the line pro athletes. It's this and that. He's just another big thing about David. Why does he attract God's heart? He consults the Lord on all major decisions. If he's not sure, even if it makes sense, like in 1 Samuel 23, verse 2, should I go and the Philistines are attacking my people? Should I go and attack? Respond. He goes to the Lord first. Where his predecessor Saul, he got in trouble from taking the sacrifice on his own. He, rather than going to the Lord first and going in order, he's like, well, I'm God's anointed. I'll go do it, you know, and God will follow me. David apparently learned that lesson. And so that's another thing that makes him something we should do. We should consult the Lord first. Amen. And any major decision. First. Even when it makes sense. Like, it might be something as stupid as, do I need this new van? You know? You may have the money. God might know that van's a lemon. God might know that there's an even newer van that's coming out 2 months later that will fit your needs better. But you know, you can, you got to consult them. David showed meekness and humility despite his calling. He knew he was called to be king early on. But if you read all of his talkings with Saul or any others, he's like, he was meek. He accepted a serving position. He knew he would be king when God made him king, not by his hand. Going back to the second time, Saul, after Saul promised he's not going to hunt David anymore, you know, got your robe, this, that, and we're all friends again. Thank you for not killing me. He decides to go out and kill him again. And this time, David and one of his men sneak into Saul's tent, take Saul's spear and his water. David's friend, it's like, let's kill him now. He broke, you know, and it makes sense to me. I would have. First time I gave you grace, Lord. Second time you broke your word, you come at me. Lord, I would have said the Lord's delivered him out of my hand, just like his friend did, and I'm going to take his life. But no, David still had that respect for the Lord. Amen. After a man tried to kill him. So people talk against the pastor. What does the pastor do? He blesses him.
Yes.
You know, that is what we should do.
Yeah.
And none of these people were trying to kill pastor. So, you know, it just takes that principle to the next level.
Yeah.
But speaking against your brother is killing him. Yeah. Jesus said that. You know, you curse your brother, there's murder in your heart.
Right.
You speak against him.
Right.
And David is a murderer, but he understands the power of his brother. You know, we should never speak against each other. We do. And we, you know, I've already covered, friend, if you have aught against your brother, that's old manna. But it's not going to ever go away.
Amen.
And pastor really, what's something else that covered? Pastor covered David's zeal for God's house several weeks back. And it's true. David wanted God to have his temple. And God told him no. Did David let that stop him? Only kind of, sort of. He's like, okay, I may never see this temple or be in it, this and that, but I can lay up wealth for this temple. And he laid up lots of wealth. There's no need for me to go through and read how many timbers and this and that. Just consider it a huge chunk of change.
Amen.
And what would be in the millions upon millions for something he was never going to see manifested in his lifetime. And,
wow.
You know, but he was laying up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
We lay up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
That's something that God wants us to do.
Yeah.
He may not require millions. He may require 10%. You might not have 10%. If you can't give it, come clean the church. Go mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Do the weeding, you know.
Because
tithing is more than just money. It's your time. It's your effort. It's your... You might be like Sister King. She can't get up and clean the church easy. But I bet you she can pray for people.
Right.
She's been praying for people for decades. She knows how to do that.
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
She's still putting forth her effort into the thing.
That's right.
And that's because God expects it from all of us.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to talk about but what David is most known for is his praise. The Bible doesn't talk too much about the tabernacle of David, but it was one of the three primary tabernacles. And what was different in David's tabernacle than Moses' tabernacle is the tent was, didn't have like the outer tent. It was surrounded by singers and praisers and instruments. David had a revelation that the Lord abides in his praise. So he surrounded the ark with praise 24/7. And the man had got so much revelation through praise that he, you know, most of the book of Psalms is written by David.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of prophecy in the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
David never considered himself a prophet. The others didn't really consider him a prophet. They don't consult him as the prophet David. It wasn't until after the fact, and they see, well, he said, this is coming to pass. Then they realized, well, maybe he was a prophet. And but lots of times when we praise and sing, we're prophesying. It's not much different. I'll fly away to glory. We're prophesying. We're standing on faith that we are going to be raptured. We will fly away. And that's in our praise. And praise is, you know, it's hard to say. It's not that God's egotistical like that. Not in the sense that we understand it. When we praise, it helps us see how big God is compared to how small our problems are.
Amen.
You know, I'm sure the angels sing better than anyone in this group.
Right.
Definitely better than me. But, you know, he didn't want the angels just to be the ones to sing.
Right.
No, he wants all of us to praise. Because how was it when you were three or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. They're in the midst because we're praising him.
Amen.
Because we're speaking about him.
Because
the Bible says that's where he abides.
Yes.
He doesn't abide in our good intentions.
No.
He doesn't abide in our complainings.
Uh-uh.
Oh, Lord, if you just get me through this day. I have plenty of that. I'm only speaking on problems that I have. Because I can't testify on anyone else's. And I would ask, do you have his anointing? Are you anointed?
Okay.
What characteristics are in you that God wants you to nurture and bring forth?
Right.
You know, it's good to look at the great examples in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can't go hang out with David and ask him how he did it.
No.
You know, but you guys, what is it? You know, this is going to be different for each one of us because we have things in common. We have things different. But what is it in you?
Right.
You know, do you know? I'm not sure exactly what God sees in me half the time. But, you know, I can uplift my brother when it's down. I know what it's like to be down.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to go through serious life-changing events.
Right.
And I have more compassion for it.
Amen.
You know, and that's for each of our stories. I'm way off my notes. I will mention, this is as long as I'm off the notes. Isaiah, you were talking about having a time set aside with God. Back in the 19th century, there was this evangelist named Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to tell his story because it's a beautiful story. First off, he was a raging drunk and highly abusive to his believing wife. He would come home drunk, kick her out, beat her. She would sleep on the front of the thing, and when he wakes up in the morning to go to work or whatever he do, she'd come back in, clean the house, and do this, and she's a praying woman. Later on, when this man becomes an evangelist, he is so on fire in the Pentecostal movement. I mean, miracles upon miracles. He was it for his time. That the Queen of England invited him for tea one day. The tea time she picked was the time he daily had prayer of God, and he turned her down. It's like, no, this is the time I meet with the creator of the universe, the Queen of England. It takes a back seat to that. So when you're talking about having that prayer time, you know, that's who I think of about, you know. You know, how many of us would turn down a trip to go see the president because it was our prayer time? But every one of us should if that was your set prayer time. Because Biden will go, Trump will come and go, you know, they're a dime a dozen. There's only one Lord and Creator.
That's right.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'd almost forgot about him. That was a book I read 20-something years ago. I think I hit all my points. So I will, I'll be handing it to Pastor, but really take that home about what attributes is God wanting to nurture in you.
That's right.
Because that's, everything else there is history about someone else.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But that is something that will carry you the rest of your days.
Amen.
they're getting better. Amen. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed all three of them. I brought my notes up here because I figured I'd just look at what they said. And I like the part that Isaiah's, his title was the adjustment, make an adjustment. You know, God's first in our lives. And everything else gets adjusted around it. If we have something that God doesn't want, we lay it down. If we don't have something that God wants, we pick it up. Simple as that. It's not really that hard. But it's hard when you don't, when you're not obedient, which goes right on into Ted's. You know, you learn obedience by the things that you suffer. You go through things. Sooner or later, you learn to just give up. You know, we go through things and we think we got a better way. We think God's way's okay, but I got a shortcut. I got this. But then you suffer because what you'll find out is God's way is always right.
That's right.
And sometimes we have our ideas in our head of what we want to do, and we have our plans. I have my plans. I was going to be in the military. I was going to retire as a general or something. I don't know what. But I had all kind of plans of what I was going to do with my life, where I was going to live, how it was going to be, and God didn't let me have none of those. But you know what? I was so blessed because I took up what He wanted me to do. And when you do what God wants you to do, obedience is better than sacrifice. You might sacrifice stuff all over the place, think you're going to give God this, and you're going to offer God that, and you bring this and bring that. God just wants you to obey Him. When He tells you something, just do it. That's how simple it is. Just do it when He tells you something. If He doesn't tell you nothing, you get away with it, that's fine. But when He tells you something, stop. Turn around. That's what repentance is about. Lord, I had my idea. I repent. I turn around. I'm taking your thinking over top of mine. I'm going to do what you want. Well, I don't want to do what you want, Lord. I'm going to do what I want. Well, no. Die to that too. You know, not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus was our example. So if he could do what he did, we're supposed to turn around and do the same. And you couldn't find a better man to follow than David. I mean, you know, when people look at David, I like the way Brother James brought all that out, because when people look at David, all they think about is David and Bathsheba and the baby and the dying and the bad. And we always think of the bad. That's how we do. We always pull up the bad. You know, they say, when you say David was a man after God's own heart, the first thing people think is, how? You know, David did this, David did that. David was a little sheep herder. His daddy didn't even bring him in there to get anointed because he knew David wasn't the one. I mean, you know, but the thing is, they missed the whole thing that James brought tonight. It's the reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. And I like that, because all those points he brought up were true. David was a true worshiper. He loved to worship. He loved to shout and dance. He loved to worship God. He believed in God's prophet. He believed in God's anointing. He reverenced him, like you said, with Saul. Even though Saul was killing him, trying to kill him, he would not touch him. Because he was God's anointing. You said, well, he lost God's anointing. No, he was still God's anointing. What did the prophet tell Saul? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Saul was just a man that had a problem. And God was getting ready to change the order of the business. And Saul was in the way. I always think about poor little Jonathan. Nobody thinks about Jonathan. Have you ever thought about that? Jonathan was actually the next in line for the throne. Jonathan was David's best friend. Jonathan helped David escape from his daddy. Jonathan did a whole lot of things. And in the whole time, David, knowing that he was anointed, knowing that he knew that Jonathan was not going to be able to be here if I'm going to be king. He knew that. And Jonathan knew that. But Jonathan so loved David that he knew that, David, you're going to be king, though I have to give my life. I want you to have that. That was Jonathan's love for David. And David's love for God's word was, God, I'm the anointed. And though it cost me my best friend, and my father-in-law, my family. I'm going to do it. And it's going to cost you. This thing is not without a price. We all have to pay a price. All of us. We all have a price to pay. And line your life up with David. And then you can do it. Be humble like him. Worship God like him. You know, David, when he lost his son, he prayed and prayed and prayed, asked God to save him, asked God to heal him. And son died. David had a revelation. He said, you know what? Let's go to church. And they're like, David, but we ain't even buried him yet. Your son just died. He said, you know what? He can't come to me, but I can go to him.
That's right.
That's a revelation. That's how David lived his life.
Yes.
He wasn't worried about all the situational problems. See, we get caught up in the now.
Yeah.
And we don't look at the promise. We don't look down the road enough to see, God, what are you doing here? We don't even stop to ask that. That's what David did.
Yeah.
He took the time to ask God, Lord, what do you want?
Right.
He consulted the Lord, like you said. He always consulted the Lord.
Yes.
And by consulting the Lord, he always stayed ahead of the problem. And see, the way you get around your problems, you're going to go through the problems.
Yeah.
But when you consult the Lord will let you see beyond your problem.
Yeah.
This too shall pass. He'll get you beyond your problem. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how tough it is. I don't care how much the devil's throwing mud at you. I don't care how much he's lying to you. Just stop like David did and consult the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want out of this? Because remember I said, don't go through something and not get the gold out of it. Don't go through this life and suffer and suffer and then still be poor.
Come on.
If I'm going to work on my life, I'm going to have something to show about it. And if I'm going to do this for God, God, I'm going to get the gold out of everything that comes my way.
Yes.
Don't sit here and be a defeated Christian.
No.
David was not defeated.
Right.
In his good time, he was not defeated. In his bad time, he was not defeated.
No.
When he was on top of things, he was not defeated. And when things were on top of him, he still was not defeated.
Amen.
That's why he was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
That's why we can be after God's own heart, because of the things that James told us about David. I wrote them down.
Amen.
There's one more, Pastor.
What's that one?
He keeps his promises.
He does.
When he promised to Jonathan and later to Saul that he would not wipe out their line,
yeah.
He went and found the last of Saul's lineage and fed him at his table.
Blessing.
Oh,
you're supposed to take everybody out of the lineage so they can't come and take the throne.
He went and found them and blessed them.
And that's what's in the hearts of the believers.
Yes.
David wouldn't touch Saul. David was a servant. David was a leader. David consulted the Lord. David showed meekness and humility. David had a zeal for God. David laid up treasures in heaven. David gave praise. They see, I don't think I take notes. I just read a few of my notes I get off of somebody who's not a preacher. David's tabernacle, I like that. He surrounded it 24/7 with praise. So you want to find out what made him man after God's own heart? There you go. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, let those same attributes that were displayed in David express itself out through you. And you'll be a man or a woman after God's own heart. I enjoyed this.
Yeah. Amen.
Did you get anything out of it? May you ask a question? Get a microphone because they can't hear you on the internet. You can ask it.
I'd have you ask yourself, where's God's tabernacle to now? That you're going to surround 24/7 with praise.
There you go. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Where's that tabernacle? Well, I give him praise on Sunday and Wednesday. Hallelujah. I save it till I get to the church. I praise him in the car. I praise him in the shower. I praise him in the house. I praise him in the backyard. Clary said the other day, so I have my headset on. I'm walking around the yard doing yard work and I got music going. I'm singing and working in the yard. She told me the other day, she said, I can hear you going around the house singing. outside. I'm outside and she's inside. And she said, I can hear you because I got the headset. I don't know how loud I'm singing. I'm just singing. I'm just out there. It's just me and God. And she said, yeah, I heard you. I can hear you in the house. She's back in the house somewhere and she can hear me going around the house singing. But praising 24/7. If he left the throne of heaven, where they had praise 24/7, and he's now got silence in heaven, he should be receiving praise from you 24/7. The hosannas are still ringing. The hosannas are still praising, and we're still hosanna and praising God. But now it's down here. Now it's in you. Now it's in me. So that's a good question. Amen. So I'm going to wrap this up because we got to go in the back. And I don't want to stay out here too long. Y'all be in a hurry to go home. So, Kevin. Yeah, come on up.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, you're going over there.
Oh, I can go.
I was going to give you the whole place.
It was a great, you guys did great. And I, this here, I got a little Bible scripture here, and it says, my God will supply every need of your according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And it ties into what you guys are saying. God will always provide a way, no matter what. And I'm learning that more and more now, because, you know, a lot of times when we're going through things, you don't never want to, like, well, you'd be like, woe is me. Like, why am I going through this? But like Pastor said, you got to find the glory out of it. Amen. There's a reason why you're going through it. And if anybody's going to go through it, it's going to be this bride. A bride will get through it. And I look at Sister Courtney, with James going through that. She's a strong woman. To come back and come here, I mean, her husband's there. I mean, that's God. That's God. I mean, it is. See Sister Michelle back here. I mean, that's strong. I mean, we get this from this word. That's what we make. This word does this to us. We're not normal people. We're not.
No, we're not.
We're not normal. I mean, I look at Brother Mike here. His wife passed away. And what was he at the next day? In church. You got some people that don't come to church. They got a common cold don't come to church. He lost his love when he came to church. I mean, you take it for granted what we got here. It's a blessing that we got God's mind here. We do. Amen. We have a sound mind here. And I love it. I do. I mean, we're just blessed. We are. We're blessed. And I you brothers blessed me too, just sitting there. I'm just like, you know what, you guys getting out of the way like that, it's a blessing. It really is. And that's what Pastor all been telling us, like, to get out of the way. Because we have something in us to get out. We do.
We do.
And you can't sit here and not say you have nothing. God's been good to us. He has. And I just think about every single day, like, you know, if God woke me up this morning, let's thank God.
Yes.
Stop complaining about every little thing and just take God for what it is and just appreciate life.
Amen.
Appreciate it. Because, you know, a lot of people don't have this. They don't. They wish that they had this. And we have this word and we understand the word too.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's a blessing. We don't sit there and just wonder, like, is it true? Yes, it's true. We know it's true. We don't even doubt it. We know it's true. We know that God's in Isaiah. We know God's in Brother James. We know God's in Brother Ted. We know what God's at. God's building skin. He is. He and his people. So whenever you look at your brother or sister and you look at him cross-eyed, just know that you're touching God. Just know that.
That's
just
right.
Know that. So be careful how you touch God. Don't just play. Don't play with God like that, because God's in skin. He is. And it's been dealing with me. Like, you know, you can't treat God so lightly.
Mm-mm.
It can be as simple as just, hey, tie your shoes. You might think, oh, it's just Kevin. No, Kevin's telling you, hey, tie your shoes. Like, that's God. Mm-hmm. God is telling you something. Don't just ignore it. That's how simple it is. And I've been guilty of it. I'll tell myself, I've been guilty of it over the years, just treating this sister and brother like it ain't God. And as I got older, you know what? God's built in skin.
Yes,
there's no way around it. You can say what you want. God did this. This is how he wanted it. And I thank God for that. I really do. We don't have to go to a prayer closet. We got God on the phone. We can talk to God anywhere. We got some ways, forms of communication with God. It's unreal. It is. And I just thank God for that. I really do. And I just sit back there. I just like, Lord, I got to say something. God's been too good. Even to
yes,
me. I can speak for myself. God's been too good to me. He has. He's been good to me. And I just, there's nothing I can say or do for God. He gets everything. He does. And you know, one thing that Brother James has said, about tithing. I was listening to a brother named, I forgot his name, something Monroe, because a lot of times when I'm in the garage, I don't like to, I listen to music, but sometimes I have to sit down and just think, listen to other stuff, because sometimes I listen to rap music and stuff like that, but that's just garbage. It is. You got to get some more of other things. You do. So I like to listen to some spiritual things, and the thing he said about is, God's not worried about your tithing, and I was listening to it, and we think about monetary, we think about money. tithing is also just giving your time to your brother and sister in need.
That's right.
And I was like, you know, that's true, because your brother and sister might be going through something, you're just so in your own world, because you got it made, you know, you living the glorious life. Mm-hmm. But this brother might not have no food in his refrigerator. Then what you gonna do? Okay. What you gonna do? You gonna help your brother, or are you just gonna just let him just sit there and just starve?
Right.
What you gonna do? Cause we talk about love, we talk about it, but we don't live up to it. We don't. We put the brother down, put a sister down, because we ain't living like the one to live. Mm-hmm. That ain't Christ like. That ain't Christ like. That's not. Let's be honest. It's not Christ like. I don't want to be that way. I don't. If a brother and sister needs something, hey, call me. I'll be there. Because we've been taught better here. We have. And for you to act like that, shame on you.
Amen.
Shame on you. And I don't want to be that way. I just thank God that we've been taught well here. And I thank God for the correction and rebukes. I honestly enjoy it, because it gives me a chance to turn around and say, Lord, I want to do better.
Amen.
I want to turn around. I don't want to be that way. I don't. If you got to keep kicking me every Sunday, Wednesday, then so be it.
That's right.
I done came this far. I ain't leaving. I'm not. I'm not.
I'm not going anywhere.
The time's at hand now. So, you know what? It's starting to burn right now. It's too late to turn around now. So, you need to just get with it.
That's
you
right.
need to just get with it. So, I thank God for that. I love this place. I love you guys. And that's just what I wanted to say. So.
Well, amen.
And the church said,
amen.
Well, I guess what I'll do is I'll get the musicians up and we'll get a song. Don't forget this weekend we'll have, we're not doing Bible study. I was trying to think that this weekend, this time is just flying so fast, I keep forgetting. But we won't have Bible study this weekend. We're going into the holiday, and we're going to give you all Sunday night off. And I'm glad you said that. I was trying to remember. I knew there was something. So come back Sunday morning, no Sunday night. Well, I've got this Wilds on my brain, and it's not this weekend, but it's next weekend. So amen. Okay. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It's good to be here. Thank you, brothers, for volunteering. Keep Jeremiah in your prayers as they travel, and keep Jay in your prayers as he recovers, and keep the body in your prayers, because, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing that you brothers are getting up. You all are probably praying that Jeremiah hurry back. But I'm enjoying this, and so I think it's good. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight. We're so thankful for this time that we've had together. Thank you for our brothers that are come up and stand behind this pulpit and give you the praise and move out of the way so that you could speak to our hearts. Lord, we're not walking away from here hungry tonight. We're walking away full. We've been helped by you through our brothers. And Father, we ask you to just continue to be with us. Lord, as we go in a bag, just bless that food and bless, Lord, our sisters, both of them that are having birthdays, Jada and Andrea today. And Lord, I ask you to continue to be with Jay and touch him and each day, let him get stronger and stronger. And Father, as Jeremiah journeys back home, Lord, it'll be good to see him when he returns. But Lord, while we're here in this time, in this place, we want to never fail to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for you deserve it all. I'm so glad I'm a part of this family. So thankful to be a part of it. And Lord, I ask you to be with us until we meet again. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit and washed by His blood. I am joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm a part of the family. Come here, Dwayne. You can listen. Don't forget, we're going back there.